I Suck at Dating with Dean, Vanessa, and Jared, an iHeartRadio podcast.
Hello, hello, podcast listeners. Welcome to a new year. Thank you for joining us on Help I Suck at Dating. Bringing in 2019, not entirely in full force here. It's just me and Vanessa on the mics today, sparing you some Jared. But Vanessa, say hi.
Hi, everyone. Happy New Year. Happy 2019.
Happy 2019. So this is mine and Vanessa's first time talking since, what, December 1st or something like last year?
Yeah, it feels like we've been off. Well, we've been off for like a month or a little bit under a month. So it's nice to reconnect. It's nice to see that you're back in North America. Weren't you just, where were you? I can't keep up with your travels.
I flew in from Australia this morning at 8 a.m.
No. And are you jet lagged?
I wasn't able to sleep on the airplane, so I've been awake for 36 hours. I'm struggling.
I remember when I got back from Bali, I remember telling myself I could never do a long trip like that again because it took me at least like 2 or 3 days. I was crying myself on the couch to sleep because I just couldn't. I was either oversleeping or undersleeping and I couldn't adjust to the time difference back in Montreal. But I'm glad to see that you're well, even if you've been lacking sleep. And you look so good. You're glowing.
Oh, I'm super tan. There's no ozone layer in Australia, so you tan in like 20 seconds standing out in the sun. It's pretty nice.
I really like your color.
Yeah, thank you. It's a nice, what would we call this? Maybe like a...
You're like golden.
A golden mocha brown.
We call that Aussie, Aussie tan.
Vanessa, fill us in on what you did over the holidays for Christmas and New Year's.
I got the flu. Montreal, it was like an epidemic back in Montreal. Everyone I know either had pneumonia or bronchitis or got the flu or had gastro. And I got hit with the flu for 10 days right after Christmas. I spend the holidays with my family. So it's like if you saw my hometown dates, that's basically what the holidays are for me. I'm with my family every Sunday, and then the holidays is not any different. We just decided to go to my house this time in the old port of Montreal. So everyone came over. We had dinner here. So that was a little bit of a change. It was nice to host everyone at my place. Really stressful. Spent quite a bit of money on food and decor because I didn't have anything because I just basically moved into my place. Well, not basically, but a couple months ago.
Wait, so you hosted your whole family?
Yeah. So I had all the kids over during the day. We went out. We went for a walk. And then at night, I got my grandparents, my mom, her man, my sister, my nephew, and her husband all came over. So that was my
You must
Christmas.
Have a big apartment if you can host that many people.
No, it's not that big at all. It's really not that big at all. But I split it in two. So during the day, the kids were together. And then for New Year's, I want to hear about your New Year's because you were in Australia, right?
Well, yeah, but it sounds like you were on a roll there. Finish it.
Okay. So for New Year's, I was sick. I was in and out of the clinic, couldn't figure out what I had. At one point, they wanted me to go in for x-rays to see if I had like bronchitis or whatever, but I managed to like not have fever for longer than a week. So it was fine. And I was super excited. I bought this really sparkly dress and I wanted to get dressed up because I feel like if you look in my closet now, I don't know about you, but ever since I've been, I guess, a freelancer or not going into a 9-to-5 job, yeah. My wardrobe hideous.
Oh.
I track pants and boyfriend tops. Not because I'm like just like baggy. Like look how I'm dressed right now. I'm not
beautiful.
Even wearing pants. No, it's hideous. Like I just don't know how to dress anymore. So I got super excited for New Year's, was gonna get all dolled up, and then I got fever. But I did have a midnight kiss. So
ooh. Wait, was it with a human?
It was with a human this time.
A male?
A male
wow.
human, but this one was a male.
Was it spontaneous? Was it premeditated?
It was premeditated.
Ah.
He took care of me while I was sick.
He took care. Oh, so was it just you two like hanging out? You weren't at like a party or anything?
Oh, I feel like New Year's is a little bit overrated. You spend money and whatever.
I hate New Year's. Everyone like overhypes it. You have these big expectations, and then you just go end up waiting in line, paying $300 to enter into a club that you don't even want to be in the first place.
Imagine if you're doing that in minus 30 degree weather in Montreal. Not the greatest.
No, it sounds miserable.
Oh, and I got to see fireworks from my balcony. Ooh. So at midnight, there were fireworks, and we're watching the countdown on my laptop because I don't own a TV. It was one of my favorite New Year's. It was simple. I got a kiss.
2019's off to a great start for you, Vanessa.
Really,
that's
really
amazing.
So that's my little update.
So you spent Christmas with the fam at your apartment, and then you had a nice little sick New Year's kiss from in your apartment on New Year's. That's great.
Yeah. And I didn't even contaminate him, so he's got some great antibodies.
Wow, that sounds like you got yourself a keeper. We have to figure out, we're going to dive in a little bit more on him, I guess, obviously, on a later episode, maybe next week when you're in Los Angeles. That's right. Super excited to see you three-dimensionally.
Mm-hmm. What about you, what happened with you the end of 2018? How was that for you?
Well, I jumped on an airplane on the night of the 24th, and I got off of that airplane on the morning of the 26th, so I did not have a Christmas. I literally just didn't have a day of Christmas, which was an interesting thing, I guess. I never really knew that was a possibility. I'm not a big Christmas fan. I think I made that clear before.
You're not a big Christmas fan?
No, it's kind of hard when there are these holidays that bring people's families together, and I'm like, okay, well, I guess I'll just go hang out with my friends or something like that. And my mom's birthday is Christmas Day, and so it's just like it kind of brings up some more, you know, emotions, all that kind of stuff. And both my brothers are the 23rd and the 27th, so December typically as a kid was a pretty busy month for us. But
yeah,
so I didn't really have a Christmas. What did I do on the airplane? I slept. I didn't really like celebrate. I didn't really drink anything. They didn't give us like special cake or anything like that. But
really, they didn't announce like Merry. I guess
I don't think so. I remember the flight attendants were all dressed very festively, but
that's so cute.
Yeah. And then for New Year's, what did we do? So I have like four or five friends that live in Sydney and we're traveling through Sydney that are from America. So it was nice to kind of like meet up with them and catch up with them. I was not sick. I got all dapper. I wore a button-up shirt, which is very rare for me. I, instead of going out and like getting drunk at a club, I decided to try to take my drone out and like fly my drone over the fireworks on the Harbor Bridge. But that kind of ended up... That ended up being a mess because there was like drone blockers or something like that, and it kept blocking the signal. I kept like losing my drone, so I was like lugging around this like $1,000+ drone all night long, and I didn't even get the shot that I wanted to. So I was kind of bummed by that. But I had a New Year's kiss, just like you.
Wait, is that the story that you wanted? You said you had a story to tell. Was that the story?
No, I do have a story to tell, but I think that I'm gonna not tell it.
Are you not going to tell it at all, or are you going to be like me and wait it out for a couple episodes?
I don't know.
Okay.
It was a story that I was informed of.
It's not about you.
No, it's about an ex. And it just kind of really has been just plaguing my mind.
Do you want to talk about it?
I do want to talk about it with you off air.
Well, we don't have to name names. Or you don't have to give the whole story, but okay. Well, it sounds like you had a really good time in Australia.
But that story, like I said, this, I was just like informed of some things and it really just like kind of ate away at me.
Was it something that you found out that happened while you were in a relationship with this person?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bad stuff.
First of all, okay. Well, I want to get into this and I don't want to get into your story. I want to get into, is there a point in knowing useless information if you're not in that relationship anymore?
You know, I would say no, but it's funny because I was told this news, I was told this information, and I was like, oh, I don't care. And then I found myself thinking about it like an hour later, and then like a day later, and then a week later, and I was like, wow, this really is affecting me a lot more than I thought it was going to.
Was it affecting you because it was your ego? For I don't know what the story is, but I'm assuming your ego was bruised.
I don't know, because I don't really have... Do I have an ego? I don't know.
Yeah, everyone has an ego.
It was a lot of frustration. I think that's what it really boiled down to. And I didn't really get frustrated, and annoyance. I was very annoyed and frustrated. Mm. And then my mind was like elsewhere. I'm like trying to enjoy the Gold Coast of Australia, like one of the most beautiful places in the world. And I'm like stressing myself out, and like I have anxiety and all this kind of stuff because of that, which was kind of a bummer. I'm glad that I know it, though. Like, I'm glad that I have the information like in my brain now, I guess, if that's your point.
I actually have a quote that I want to read to you. So, and I have it on my desktop. If you suffer, it is because of you. If you feel blissful, it is because of you. Nobody else is responsible. Only you and you alone. You are your hell and your heaven too. And that's so true. Like, and that applies to basically when I was talking about Abraham Hicks and getting into your vortex and getting to basically your zone and not allowing other people to affect the way that you're feeling or thinking or the way that you view yourself and allow people to influence all that. I've been trying to do that in the last like couple of years because I'm a very emotional person. And I feel like throughout the years, I've been getting a lot better at just being able to receive that information and let it affect me for a shorter period of time instead of just letting it consume my day and my week or my month, or, you know, not allowing myself to be present like you were.
Look, I get that. I 100% agree with that. Like, everything starts and finishes with you and your mindset. But it's just so hard to like shake stuff like that, you know? Like, it's so much easier said than done.
Well, I wish I knew what it was.
Well, you'll know in an hour when we're done recording this episode. And I...
Oh, Jesus.
You're going to be pissed.
Am I?
You might be more angry than I am.
Am I involved?
No.
Why'd you hesitate for?
Well, in like a weird, I'm involved, which means you're kind of involved, right? Like, obviously our friendship involves you a little bit.
Oh, listen, I got your back, boo.
That's what I'm saying. My happiness is, or your happiness is contingent upon my happiness and vice versa.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
In that sense, you're involved. All right, well, let's move on. So what kind of New Year's resolutions have you set for yourself?
So since I was like set back a little bit, I was sick for 10 days. I didn't really get to do much, literally sat on my bed and on my couch and was drinking fluids and didn't get a chance to organize my life. So a couple days ago when I started to feel a little bit better, I was really anxious and I'm like, oh, I haven't been anxious like this in a while. Why am I anxious? And I started to realize it's because I haven't been productive and I haven't been doing much with my life for the last 10 days. So I bought myself this massive whiteboard that goes on top of where my printer is, and that's where my my TV would have gone, but I don't have a TV. So I just wrote down everything that I needed to do, and I feel for 2019 I just want to be more productive, more organized, and I want to set myself better financial goals.
Okay.
I feel like I'm like really old right now talking like that. Like, oh, I want to learn how to budget and I want to learn how to save money. But I do. I've always been really good at saving money. I just want to learn how to invest properly. I want to learn I have so many different ideas. I don't know if you have this issue too, because as someone who doesn't have like a 9-to-5, you have like all these cool ideas. And we always talk about like, oh, we should do a live podcast. We should do this. We should do that. We have all these like cool ideas, but then we don't follow through with it.
Right.
And so I've been wanting to start this YouTube channel, and I have like a couple of videos that I put together, but they're not up on my channel yet. So I put down like all like the deadlines that I want to hit and all the different ideas that I want to do for my channel. So I think visually for me, having a visual chart of everything that I need to do within the month and within the year,
That's
really want to start getting organized like that.
That's really smart. And we're all kind of afflicted by that too, where it's like you kind of have like a paradox of choice where there's so many things that you want to do that you don't even know where to start because you want to do them all at the same time.
Yeah. And if you don't get it done in that day, it's like, oh, well, I didn't get it done. So move on to the next one.
Move on to next week or next month or something like that.
Yeah, exactly. What's your resolution?
I don't really believe in New Year's resolutions.
I agree.
Yeah.
I don't believe in New Year's resolution. I believe in, and I was recording a podcast with Tade this morning. I like to reset my week every Sunday. So if I feel like I had a week, I'm like, okay, well, Sunday's coming. A Sunday's going to start a new week for me. How do I want to kick off this week? And that's my form of resolution. Not like, oh, well, I'm going to wait till 2020 now to start eating healthy. No.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think that it's kind of silly to like wait for a date or like a deadline to like make you make change of something that you want to work on. So it's like, well, why would you need like going from December 31st to January 1st to be like, okay, now I'm going to start doing this thing. So it's kind of, for me, it's just continuously evolving and it's kind of dynamic. But I mean, I would like to, this is going to sound silly, but I would like to travel more.
What countries do you want to travel to? Because
it'd be pretty cool to hit all 7 continents in a year.
That might be
on the list.
Listen, do it. You're not married. You have no kids.
Well, yeah, and that's the thing too. I've been thinking about moving out of my house and buying like a van and living in a van for a while, maybe like a year or so.
Yeah. When I was in Seattle, I saw this guy living in a van with his dog, and he looked like the happiest person.
Oh, yeah.
His dog was the happiest
person. Let me ask you this. Let me paint a hypothetical picture for you. So say you go out to the bar. You meet a lovely guy, handsome, articulate, kind, all the good stuff, conversational, whatever it is. But then you come to find out he lives in a van. Would you still consider going on a second date with him or going back to his van that night?
Oof, I wouldn't go back to his van that night.
Well,
no.
Okay. You're not that kind of girl. I get that. But
well, I wouldn't go back to his, I would go back to, a van is a little bit sketch because it's like, what if he drives off and like takes me away somewhere?
Yeah, I don't, you gotta watch out for that stuff.
Yeah, that is scary. But I wouldn't necessarily, I can't phrase this. Yes, I would go on a second date with him because I want to know why a van. Like, I feel like people who have like these luxurious cars and these big houses and whatever, they live beyond their means.
Yeah.
So they may have a penny in their savings account and a ton of debt. I don't want to be with someone like that. I'd rather live a minimalistic lifestyle and have way more money, way more cash I'm sitting on. And maybe this guy that's living in a van has way more savings and wants to like spend his money in different types of ways.
Certainly.
So yeah, I would give him a chance.
And you always do make fun of me for having my check engine light on in my car. So.
Well, because you have me in the car. I'm like, what if this thing blows up and we're like in the middle of the freaking highway?
Well, then I guess we're both going down. So that's what I'm thinking about doing this year, 2019, is transitioning into that. I've theorized a system that would be beneficial, I think, is if I were to move out of my room in my house with my three friends, I could move into a van, and then just whenever I'm in Los Angeles, I could just park the van in like the front yard or something, and essentially that's like a fourth room in the house. So I would just live in that as my bedroom and then just use like the common areas, the bathroom, all that kind of stuff.
So would you pay less rent?
Heck yeah, I'd pay less rent.
Like half of what you're paying now?
I would say even maybe a third of what I'm paying now.
Really?
And that's part of the incentive as well. It's like what stinks about like for the past two trips to Australia and South America, I've been gone 5 out of the past 6 weeks. And it's like, well, I'm still paying, you know, $1,700 a month for a room that I'm not even sleeping in, which is always just kind of a bummer.
Yeah, that's brutal.
But I don't know. That's what I at least have on the horizon. I do have a couple fun things coming up for 2019 that I'm super, super excited about. I was going to keep it a secret. Well, not really a secret, but I wanted to surprise.
Like travel plans?
Yeah, kind of travel plans. I think I texted in the group chat the other day. I'm getting my skydive license this weekend, which is something that I've wanted to do since I was literally 10 years old. So that's like a bucket list thing I can finally. Well, if I don't die, that's like what bucket list thing I can try.
Well, I heard there's no one that's ever died from skydiving.
Well, that's the falsest thing I've ever heard.
Really?
No one's ever died.
No, I mean, yeah. died from the parachute, not
opening.
Opening.
I mean, you have like a backup and all that kind of stuff. It'll be interesting because it's terrifying. But like I said, it's something I've always wanted to do. So that'll be fun. I have like a Mexico trip coming up with some friends for a birthday, and then I'm going to Japan for a ski trip later in February. So I've got a lot of fun things on the horizon.
Wow. Already? You're already leaving? You just came back.
Yeah. Well, good. I'm not leaving. I'm planning for those next trips.
Well, February is coming up. That's next month.
I'm going to start I'm going to start a hashtag van life Instagram profile.
Well, I have a question for you. So yeah. You travel a lot. Do you keep like a list of like budgets? Because now I'm like in budget mode. Do you say like, okay, I'm going to spend X amount of money on food, X amount of money on hotels,
no.
And give yourself a budget?
No, not really. I just kind of go and do it. That's the thing too. I'm going to start writing about it a little bit more. I want to start like keeping track of my expenses publicly because I feel like people could benefit from knowing how much a real person is spending on these types of trips, like to Australia, to South America. If someone's like, oh, he spent $2,000 in 2 weeks in South America, like I know that I can spend somewhere around that same amount. So I'm going to start doing that more, I think. Again, that's kind of what you just were talking about earlier, though. It's like we have all these ideas and you want to do them, and then eventually you have to put them in action. If you don't, then they're just like being put off to the next day. I don't really budget that well, but it's like I'm a cheap traveler in the sense like I don't need expensive accommodations. I can like stay in hostels. I can eat McDonald's every day. It's like when I travel with my friends are all bougie and they're like, let's stay in this 5-star hotel and go to this 4 Michelin star restaurant. And it's like, okay, well, I can't spend $600 a day on food and
Was the highest.
I'm just speaking out of my butt. I don't know what I'm saying.
I just saw this movie with Bradley Cooper and it was like 3-star Michelin. I think that'd be a great idea because I look at your travels and I'm like, holy shit, how much money is he spending just like on flights alone, especially if you're going across to like Australia. That's
the Australia flights were expensive. Yeah, those ones were expensive.
Yeah.
But anyways, so we have a special episode today. I guess we
so excited.
Kind of get into it a little bit. We love talking about sex.
Mm-hmm.
When's the last time you had sex, Vanessa?
When's the last time you had sex? I was actually going to answer that. Then I'm like, I don't know. Maybe my mom is listening to this episode. But no, I do have a ton of questions. Are we interviewing for Chris Donahue, right? Is that his name? Yep.
Chris Donahue, yep.
Chris Donahue, who's a sex therapist.
Yep, Dr. Chris Donahue, who is a sex therapist, as Vanessa just said. I want to talk to you guys real quick about ZipRecruiter. And ZipRecruiter has a very close personal connection to me because I have a lot of friends that work there, actually. Their office is right down the street from my house here in Los Angeles. So I know how great of a company they are inside and out. If you are looking to hire for your company, be sure to check out ZipRecruiter. They have a powerful matching technology that scans thousands of resumes to identify people with the right skills, education, and experience and actively invites them to apply to your job so you get qualified candidates and you get them fast. That's why ZipRecruiter is rated number one by employers in the U.S. The rating comes from hiring sites on Trustpilot with over 1,000 reviews. Right now, all of the listeners of this amazing podcast, Help I Suck at Dating, can get ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive website. I'm going to give it to you guys right now. Ready? ZipRecruiter.com/date. It's so easy. All you have to do is go to ZipRecruiter.com/date. If you love the show.
Date, not dates. Date.
Date. Exactly. Just one date, because all we really want is for you to go on one date, fall in love, and never have to go on a first date again.
Yeah.
ZipRecruiter.com/date. Check it out. If you're looking to hire employees, like we said, ZipRecruiter is the number one rated website for employers to hire new talent. So check them out.
So what do your roommates do?
They're in sales.
Like, do they? Oh, they get people to use ZipRecruiter?
They're doing exactly what I'm doing right now, but they make phone calls instead of...
And they know that ZipRecruiter goes through the resumes and finds, like, the best people for you to hire?
Oh, well, what's funny, too, is a lot of my friends will come back from their jobs and complain about how crappy the product is. But every one of my friends that works at ZipRecruiter lives it, loves it, and swears by it. They come home and they say that it obviously is one of the best companies to work for because their product is so great. So check them out, ZipRecruiter.com/date. It's the smartest way to hire. It's simple as that.
I want to talk about Sleep Number because I was just raving about how much I love things that are customizable, right? And so I have a mattress right now that's basically customizable for one person. So if someone is sleeping next to me, they can't really adjust to like the firmness of the mattress that they desire, that they need. But Sleep Number can do that. Dean, do you know about Sleep Number?
Well, yeah, Sleep Number is fantastic. I don't think anyone doesn't know about Sleep Number. It's like literally probably the most well-known mattress brand out there. What's great about Sleep Number is you can set your setting. So I'm weird because I like to go back and forth between hard and soft on what I sleep on, I guess. I'm indecisive.
This would be the mattress for you then because you could change it in the middle of the night.
In the middle of the night, exactly. I can't make my mind up in life and I can't make my mind up even when I'm sleeping. So that's what's great about Sleep Number is you can set the firmness. You can set one side soft. You can set one side firm. It's up to you, really. They're so smart. They sense your every move and they automatically adjust to you, which is fantastic as well because it keeps you sleeping comfortably throughout the night.
It detects whether or not you're moving and then it adjusts to like your position in bed, which
do you
is
like
amazing.
It soft?
And I'm constantly moving.
Soft mattress or hard mattress?
Yeah, Vanessa, do you like it soft or hard?
I like it soft when I'm lying down on my back.
And then you like it
but
hard
when
you're lying
down
on your stomach.
I need it hard.
Right.
Yeah. I definitely need it harder when I'm lying down on my stomach. Yeah. So they actually, right now they're having a January savings event, which is amazing because I mean, you're spending so much money over the holidays. So come in during the January savings event and save up to $500 on select Sleep Number 360 smart beds. Sleep Number is the official sleep and wellness partner of the NFL.
Oh.
So you know that these NFL players are sleeping on these mattresses.
That means a big football player
can take one of these mattresses. So can you. I don't know if you guys know this either. Vanessa, did you know that Sleep Number was the highest ranked in customer satisfaction with mattresses by J.D. Power for 2018?
I had a wonderful experience when I bought my Sleep Number bed. Like, it was a total pleasure, easy, and then there it was, and they delivered it and set it up, and it was good to go.
And you used, you went to sleepnumber.com/Dean, and you saved up to $500, didn't you?
Yeah.
Sure did.
No, I actually went into the store, but you know they can mention us when you go in the store, too.
There you go.
Oh, nice.
So there you go. For the listeners out there, be sure to visit sleepnumber.com/Dean to find the nearest Sleep Number store near you. That is Sleep Number, SleepNumber.com/DEAN to find the nearest Sleep Number to you. Go in there, check it out. Promise you're not going to regret it because it honestly is one of the best mattresses you'll ever sleep on. So Chris just walked into the studio.
What's
Hi,
up?
Chris.
Okay, Chris, why don't you fill the listeners in a little bit more about you and your background, and then we can kind of jump into some questions.
All right. So I host a podcast with Amber Rose called The Dr. Chris and Amber Rose Show, and I do Loveline. Took Loveline over from Dr. Drifter 25 years, and I do that as a nightly radio show over at K-Rock.
Loveline. Okay.
Back. Oh, and my book. Actually, I'm here to talk about my book, Rebel Love. It comes out tomorrow.
Tomorrow?
I keep forgetting I have a book to promote. I promote everything but the book.
But this isn't your first book, is it?
No, it's book number two.
Okay.
I have so much to say, I can't stop writing books.
What? Oh, I love it.
And a podcast.
That's right.
And a radio show.
I can't stop. And I have a clinical practice as a sex therapist and psychologist, so it's like talk, talk, talk.
Well, hey, it's good to know you're staying busy.
Thanks, man.
You must have a lot of important things to
It's
say.
LA. People struggle, dude. The love and sex game never dry.
What do people struggle with in LA?
I would say the top three things are, number one, we're not having sex anymore.
What?
We're not having sex, but yet we have like five kids, five houses, and I can't go anywhere.
In a monogamous relationship.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Which, you know, long-term relationships the number one issue tends to be like the death of sex.
Yeah. I mean, even in my year-long relationships, you can see a steady decline as the time moves forward.
Oh, yeah. It's like an evil trap. I tell people, however sex is the first couple months, don't base anything on that.
Yeah.
That's not like the long-term sustainable barometer. So
what's a good number? On average, if you're in a relationship, a long-term relationship, a year, two, 3 years, what's the average amount of times you're having sex a week?
Okay. So my answer is going to horrify you, but then I'll break it down.
Oh, God. Wait.
In
don't
some
tell me
form...
one.
Every single day.
Wow, that's a lot.
Because
what?
Here's the thing.
That's exhausting.
Well, that's what we say. Like, let me break it down a little bit. So, I mean, you have to do something every single day. Something romantic, sensual, affectionate, or erotic. It could be a handholding. It could be a flirt. It can be a kiss. It can be a sext. It can be a note. But people tend to think that, like, once you're my boyfriend or girlfriend or we're married, like, the box is checked, and then I don't have to court you anymore or attract you. But you have to keep, like, going through that cycle.
Mm.
What are you thinking?
No, okay, I mean,
so,
I get
so
it.
So
I get
I'm sending
it.
Like a sexy nude to the guy, a guy that I'm dating for like 2 or 3 years. That checks off as ding, I did something sexual
for the
today.
Day. Yeah, because we tend to think that, like, you don't want them to be your best friend. And people say that, and that's adorable. Like, my husband's my best friend. Like, that's horrible. They're not, and you don't want them to be. Hmm. They're your romantic partner, so keep it romantic. It's great that you guys have a friendship, but romanticize it constantly. So I say every day.
I'm trying to process all of this.
Okay. I have so many questions for you, Chris. Okay. Porn.
Porn
is like a billion. I'm pro porn too. Hell yeah.
Good.
But I'm not pro porn if you're doing it individually and you're in a relationship.
I'll explain why.
I'm a very open, curious, versatile human being.
Wow.
And I want there to be openness in the relationship. In the bedroom. So I don't want to, if I'm away from the person that I'm dating for like a couple of days or whatever, like obviously I'm going to want to please myself, but I want to let them know that I did please myself without their presence. However, once you start, because I've heard so many horror stories of relationships where men tend to, it's so easy, like you go in front of a computer and they start like in front
see
of
what
it.
What saying about
like,
us?
But yeah, no, I mean, I've heard so many stories about this.
Ago,
like, for women, I think like we want to romanticize, at least for me, I want to romanticize relationships and I want to romanticize like the sex.
Some, well, here's the, wait, really quickly though, that's some, because I work with a lot of women that are heavy users of porn. 30% of the people that watch gay porn are women. Man-on-man gay porn, 30% are women. There's a multitude of women that are watching porn.
Okay, so do you think that if someone who is quote-unquote addicted to watching porn or a heavy user, that'll translate poorly into the bedroom because then our expectations are that much more like...
No.
Erotic and
I don't
crazy?
Think so. I mean, I'm not the expert, but I don't think so.
Good. Follow it up. Why do you say no?
Wait, so you're saying that a heavy user of porn is going to have different expectations getting into like the real thing in
yeah,
the bedroom.
Like golden showers. I don't want a golden shower.
No.
I love that as your go-to.
Like all,
who
all,
wants a golden shower?
I'll use the search bar and like search some weird stuff every once in a while. Doesn't mean I'm going to go out and do it.
And that's what's most powerful. So what we think about in our fantasy life isn't always what we want to do in real time. And it's safe in fantasy, right? Like part of porn's purpose is to give us access to sexuality that we wouldn't necessarily have in our real life because it smells, because we can't find 15 partners to rail us, because whatever it is. And so I know, I'm sorry I had to horrify you with that, but the part of porn's
family
purpose is to like
Chris.
Oh sorry
I'm kidding.
I think I'm on Loveline right now. Porn's job is to kind of fill in those gaps, and I always remind people there's partnered sexuality and then there's solo sex, and like you get to determine what happens in your solo sex, just like when you're home alone, you choose what you listen to, what TV you watch, mm-hmm. what food you eat, like that's for yourself.
So you're saying you can be in a healthy relationship can consist of self-service is what you're saying?
Yes, absolutely.
It should.
It reminds you, it's body autonomy, especially with women right now, female sexual empowerment. It's really important that women are masturbating, remind themselves that like my sexuality isn't owned by my partner.
Yeah. I'm all for like, I always say I don't need a man to please myself. I can please myself probably better. Introducing toys. Dildos and vibrators and
I love you're just getting into it today, Vanessa. That's fantastic.
Well, no, I literally look at this. I have a list of questions because I'm like so excited. Well,
Vanessa, I'm a doctor, so everything we're talking about is confidential.
Yeah.
No one's listening.
Only our confidential millions and anonymous of listeners out there.
Don't worry, it's just me and you in the room.
So do you think, because I've heard, and this is why I'm not against it, but I don't like using vibrators because I'm scared it's going to desensitize me.
Right. It's possible. You know, I tell people, yeah, make sure that the way you masturbate is transferable to a partner because you can condition your body to need a certain level of pressure, speed, or whatever it is to orgasm. Mm-hmm. So diversify for sure.
I was someone was telling me the other day about how kids these days, well, I guess kids of any days, they grow up and like they have to kind of like rush their masturbatory time. And so then when they evolve and get into the bedroom and like become sexual with like a partner, then they feel like they have to rush and like and just go as quick as possible, get it over with, because like that's kind of how they
100%
developed growing up.
100%. We have to, one of the number one things I tell people, slow down.
Yeah.
Slow down and use your entire body.
And this is news to me. I've been sexually active for what, 12 years now, and I heard this a month ago. So
step it up, man. Step
literally.
It up.
What was that 0.8% of my sexual life? I've just thought faster is better.
Yeah, no, it's about slower and also full body. We tend to see the erogenous zones as like the genitals only, but our entire body has the capacity to lead us to orgasm and pleasure. And so we have to like expand.
Mm-hmm. Is it true that a sneeze is 1/8 of an orgasm?
Potentially, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, depends what kind of orgasms you're having.
What happens if you sneeze at the same time of having a normal orgasm?
You explode. You explode and die.
Orgasm.
You death explosion.
That's fantastic.
So, I was thinking, you know, my longest relationship was 2.5 years, and it was 2.5 years of strong, passionate love, being spontaneous in the bedroom and like outside of the bedroom and just now that was my longest relationship. People who've been married for 10, 20, 35 years, it's like, you know, when you're cooking and you're constantly thinking of like, oh, what am I going to make tonight? I can't be more creative anymore. Like all these different recipes, I've tried them all. I feel like sometimes can people feel like that in the bedroom? Like what other position can I try or what else can I introduce into the bedroom after 25 years of marriage?
That's one of my favorite parts of like when I do true sex therapy. And that's actually where I wrote the book is not everyone has access or can afford a sex therapist in the entire world. There's only 500 of us certified.
Hmm.
Right. So we're limited.
Who's responsible for certifying the sex?
There's an organization called ASEC. They're an international board. And it took me about 5 years to get all the needed training. It's a true specialty. But that's one of the number one things is like we fall into patterns. Like if you literally pay attention to how you both masturbate and have sex with a partner, it's the same step one, step two, step three in the same way, in the same day, maybe even in the same room. And so the work is about expanding outside of that for sure. But yeah, people get into patterns.
And patterns. That's what leads to the decline in sex.
Yeah, because the hottest thing sexually is newness and novelty. And so I'll tell people, whatever you end on, start there. Almost imagine it like you're taking all the behaviors, like first we kiss, then I touch your boobs, then we like throw that out of whack and do it out of order. Look, she's writing it down. You're tweeting, you're live tweeting.
And then but.
Chris says, so, I must do the following.
Exactly.
So for the listeners then, Chris, what do you think is the appropriate amount of time from say like a first date to then that courting process? I know you're kind of like an advocate for just say go for it whenever it feels right.
Yeah. How soon should you have sex?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So my answer is as soon as possible. And the reason why I say that is because number one, too many people form an attachment and move forward thinking that if you're hot enough and I like you enough, sex will just work out. And that's not accurate. Mm-hmm. And then number two, I'm all about dates. Like I go on them, but you can only learn so much over coffee where it's within sex that we actually learn like how much intimacy you want, how much intimacy you can tolerate, body esteem, self-esteem after sex, if you stick around, if you want to talk to me, if you want to touch me, like all these things really tell you what someone's interested in, something powerful in it.
To that point, it's funny because looking back on my romantic life, there's this girl who I was just obsessed with for like years and years, and we were like friends in college, like pretty good friends, and we had all these classes together, all that kind of stuff. After like 4 years of friendship, we decided to like try to date each other. And I was like obsessed with this girl. I was like, once we start dating, I'm going to marry her. We're going to spend the rest of our lives together and be happy.
Here it comes.
And then we slept with each other.
Yep.
And it just wasn't necessary. It didn't live up to the expectations. Mm-hmm.
It's its own level of chemistry and compatibility. Yeah. Yep.
We were not sexually compatible at all. And it was weird too, because I was like, in my head, I was like, this is my person. This is my person. And then in the bedroom, it just didn't necessarily stack up. And so we dated for maybe like 9 months, 10 months. And I would say we probably had sex a total of 10 times.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's tough.
At the beginning of my relationships, that's in a day. Okay. Can we go to like some Facebook sex questions that we have?
Please,
do we name them?
Yeah. Name them.
Okay. So Tiffany asks, how do you tell a guy without offending him that his favorite position just doesn't do anything for you?
So how do you tell a guy that his favorite position does nothing for you?
Yeah.
Well, number one, I always remind people, like, when you're having conversations about sex, you're talking about something really private and personal. It's like a core of our self-esteem. So just be very loving with the way you frame it, but openly and honestly. And if someone's telling you that, the first answer is like, thank you. Because that's a sign that they care about you and they like you and they want to make it work. So when someone says like, I got to tell you something really hard to hear, you know, the sex we're having isn't working. The first thing is like, hard to hear, but like, thank you for caring. But honestly.
Honestly, absolutely. And I feel like the more you prolong it, the more you prolong the conversation, the more he's going to think like, oh yeah, she's loving this. She's digging this. So I think maybe during that sex position, like guide him.
Yeah. Cause here's the thing. Silence tells people all's well.
Yeah.
And I work with far too many men and women that come in and they're like, how do I tell my husband after 5 years that I don't orgasm from any of the things he does or the positions? That's painful. That breaks my heart, right? Yeah. So like you said, I think the best thing to do is while you're having sex with someone, say things like, that feels really good. Keep doing that. Or, hey, let me put your hand here.
Mm-hmm.
Totally. Totally.
Give him like a high five or something.
Or you can high five.
Vanessa, what's your favorite position? Have we covered this one yet?
My favorite position?
Yeah.
Why do we keep asking me all these questions?
Because it's fun to see you clam up.
Because I actually do answer them.
Yeah.
I'm not going to answer that one. But speaking of orgasms, Jessica asks, can we please talk about women's orgasms? Please and thank you. Okay. So I was actually watching this documentary on, I don't know if it was on Netflix or whatever, and they were talking about like the percentage of women that are able to orgasm through vaginal stimulation versus women who orgasm through a... getting stimulated through their clitoris.
Correct.
Very low percentage. I was surprised to see how low the percentage was through vaginal stimulation.
It's about one third. One third of women can orgasm just through vaginal penetration. Yes.
Wow. So it's just like how the body's made up?
Well, because the main female sex organ is the clitoris. And so you have to remember this, when we are in utero, it's called undifferentiated tissue. What forms our penis? It's the same tissues that form a woman's anatomy. So a woman's clitoris is like the penis head. Our scrotum is very much like some of the internal parts of the vagina. And so it helps men understand, like, does it feel good when someone's poking your scrotum? Not as much as when they're stimulating your penis. And so that's why I tell guys, like, guys just think sex is penetration. And that's actually not the case.
I'm learning so much right now.
Dean, what's your favorite position?
Clitoris and a vagina were the same thing.
No.
Oh,
are you serious?
Wait.
Okay, good. I was going to say, we got to have a big talk after the show.
What's my favorite position? I don't know. I guess just girl on top. It's a classic. You guys get to control the pace and kind of do what's good for you, because everything's good for me anyway. So I might as well just let you kind of take the reins, right?
That's kinda, well done. Yeah, sure.
I don't know.
Wait, why are you quiet? All of it, when she gets quiet, I get nervous.
I'm looking at my list of questions.
I keep seeing, so Vanessa, on the TV next to you is The Bachelor previews. Ooh, you obviously can't see it. So do you know about The Bachelor?
He's a virgin,
right.
26.
So how do you feel about that then? Because obviously sex is such a big part of a relationship.
Yep.
How do you feel about someone that's 26 that's inevitably going to get engaged to a girl?
Yeah.
And obviously, hopefully sleep with her at some point.
Yeah, I would say don't make any major commitments or purchases or decisions or moves until you've had sex. Because as you beautifully said in your story, no matter how interested you think you are in someone, you know, sexuality doesn't just fall into place.
Right.
But props to him. I mean, look, I'm all about being sex positive, which means having the sex that makes sense to you. And for some people, that means delaying it or waiting or not having it. But he's missing out on some really powerful developmental milestones by not having sex. Hmm. So we learn about our body, other people's bodies, boundaries, consent. So there's a loss in that. Psychological.
Do you think it's semi-unhealthy to go through life with one partner?
Yeah, I think you're missing out on, again, learning about yourself, others, the world, your body, sexuality. I think it's important to have a lot of sex partners, to date a lot of people.
Is there such a thing as too many sexual partners?
No, I would never.
But just use protection.
Yeah, yeah. As long as you're safe and it's got consent and compassion in it, you know, game on.
Well, speaking of safety answer. And consent, safe words in the bedroom. At what point did you have the conversation? Because some people want to be a little bit more exploratory. I don't know, is that a word? Like they want to explore, you know, different things in the bedroom. But certain things can become a little bit maybe psychologically draining for a person. So at what point do you introduce safe words?
Okay, do your homework first. And that wasn't to you. That is to whoever's attempting to do like some BDSM, some kinky stuff. Someone might have seen like 50 Shades and they're all in. Yeah. Do your homework first, because some people rush into that stuff too quickly. But yeah, if you're going to do something that involves you possibly being bound or unable to free yourself, you do want to have a pre-planned safe word, and a safe word that isn't something that's common. So like, isn't the word, it, don't
butter.
Say it like, yeah, exactly.
Microwave
or zucchini, but it can't be like stop or, you know, because some people want that to be part of the play.
Right. Unless you're role playing and stop is part of one of the role playing. Yeah.
Yeah.
I've definitely never done anything like that. That's what I say.
I didn't. No, I can't either.
I think I used handcuffs once when I was like 17. And that's the extent
I was
of my...
still a virgin at 17.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah, I was a virgin until I was 21, and not because I was like, oh, I'm waiting until I get married. I just didn't feel it with anyone, I guess, that I was dating. And I had like serious relationships that with people who were very respectful of me. And so, yeah, when I decided to, you know,
do it,
to do it, it was a conscious decision and there was consent. Of course.
Chris, how do you move into this career path?
Yeah, it's a good question, right? I stumbled into it. I was just studying general psychology. I actually found it kind of boring.
I thought you were going to say, I was just having sex one day.
I thought, why don't I get paid for this? Yeah. And I just started working with people that were struggling with sexuality and went and got the training. You know, it's an interesting area of study that's getting more attention and more people are coming to the field. It's often ignored, but it's never boring. I'm telling you, it's fun stuff.
It's just weird, especially because today's society is becoming more and more open to discussing it, but it still is taboo in so
totally.
Many ways.
We're hyper obsessed and also afraid of it at the same time.
Yeah. Why is that so weird?
I think it's because, you know, we'll allow ourselves to see it and talk about it in some ways, but we don't do it in a really honest, open way. And so we're not able to really go all in.
Yeah.
It's always like, I always say this jokingly, if you're at like the supermarket and you bump your elbow, you'll be like, oh, I bumped my elbow. But if you bump your crotch, you're not going to say that loud. You'll talk about any conversation loudly on your phone at the supermarket, but if it's sexual, you what? Drop your tone.
Yeah.
Change the words. That doesn't allow us to have a really honest relationship to sex. It implies that there's something wrong about it.
Do you think that if we were more vocal about it and it became more of like our standard routine, do you think it would kind of lose its luster a little bit? Like it would become less exciting?
No, and I love that you bring that up, because people say like, if I plan sex, it'll be boring. And it's like, well, no, we'll go all in and plan the most amazing vacation, choose the restaurants, buy these packages, and it's still fun. Like good sex is still good when you're doing it, even if it's been planned.
I was do you guys know what Cure is? I don't know how to say it. Mm-hmm. It's like this weird website where people like ask questions and then other people like give answers. I was reading one this morning because I was bored on the flight, and it was like, how did you know when your wife was cheating on you or something like that? And his response was, the sex got insane. Like it was the best sex we ever had in years and years, because I guess the wife was like having sex with the husband like it was the last time, because potentially she could get caught from her husband about the cheating, like that kind of stuff.
That's twisted.
I would say you don't need to go to that length to spice it up in your relationship.
That's taking it pretty far. But, don't do that.
But that is a good point that you brought up, because if you plan sex, I mean, I don't think I've ever done that in my life, but I could see. I mean, it still is a very enjoyable experience.
Right? Yeah, you'll still have fun. But some people have such busy schedules that they have to do that. And that's a little bit of a heartbreaker, too.
What's your take on sex education in schools?
It's absolutely horrifying.
Yeah.
It's not honest. It's not real. It's so centered around it's not sex education. It's sex fear.
Okay, right? That's what I was going to tell you. So I'm so fearful of any words that are really, or any like terms related to STIs. Because I'm like, I hear and I'm like, I automatically start panicking, because they instilled so much fear in me when in high school. And then I even did a class in university and it was I didn't go to some of the classes when they were talking about STIs because I was like, oh my God, if I sit on a toilet bowl, what if I get something? Like, it got to that point where I became an extremist when it came to thinking I could contract something.
Yeah, I always tell people this, be more worried about like sick babies and doorknobs because you're coming in contact more with more viruses based on doorknobs and airplanes and, you know, public restaurants than you are through sex. And also, if you're sexually active, you've come in contact with a multitude of STDs. Like when you look at the numbers of people,
I know.
We'll pivot away from this conversation.
No, it's good. It's important.
But you know, 80%. Yeah. 80% of the population has herpes type 1 and they've gotten it from a primary caregiver while they were a child.
Right.
Yeah,
and you're going to be asymptomatic. It's possibly going to stay dormant most of your life. And so those are the ones people worry about. But the minor STDs, I'm not saying go get them, but you literally get a shot in the butt and a pill and you're back to life in an hour. Where the general flu, you're at home on the couch for a week, pooping your pants with crap coming out of your nose. That's far grosser, more problematic. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, be more worried about that, the common cold, than
I think it's also the importance of letting people know to get tested. Because if a woman does have a form, I think if it's gonorrhea or something,
HPV.
Then it can ruin their chances of fertility.
Yes, absolutely. HPV. And the thing is, until we're more willing to accept STDs as part of sex, people are not going to have the confidence to go get tested. Because the number one thing that comes to my office around that is, how do I tell a partner that I've contracted something? Or how do I tell a partner that I'm positive for something? There's so much shaming going on that I have a lot of clients that won't get tested because they'd rather not know because they don't want to have to disclose.
Interesting.
Yeah, especially online dating. It's harsh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, especially if you sleep with someone and you don't know them that well, then you get tested and you have something, you're like, what do I do?
That's right.
Yeah.
People are afraid to make those calls.
Speaking of online, social media. So I feel like we've entered an age now where, why are you guys laughing at me?
We're just moving along.
I love that you got all these questions teed up. It's great.
No, because I was actually thinking about this the other day. I've been off of social media for like 10 days because I had the flu and I wasn't on social media.
What's funny is I was creeping your Instagram before I came here. I was like, Vanessa hasn't posted in like a long time.
Yeah, since December 28 something.
Yeah.
And it felt so good to not like be a part of that world for a little bit and just detox from it. And I think we don't realize how much influence it has and how much it impacts our self-esteem and the way that we see ourselves. And then the way that we see ourselves, we project that into society. And then that's how society sees us. Right. And so I think that when we see like these like idealistic, what we think is an ideal body or what Instagram is showing us as an ideal body or like ideal relationships, or there's so many like high standards that I want people to understand that's not real life.
Yeah.
It's so good to not be, to be actually in real life with like my friends and my family for those 10 days.
Yeah, social media is the number one socializer, and people's currently, you know, especially the millennials, their self-worth and self-esteem and confidence in their bodies and in the world is all based on what they're following. So I tell people, if your social media, if what you're seeing is making you feel bad or not think you're good enough or whatever it is, unfollow that. Because you're buried in it all day long and you want to have things reflecting back that like your body's okay, you are desirable, whatever it is. Yeah.
There was as any like early 20s guy, I feel like on Instagram, all of my friends and I had like, you know, you'd follow like 30 bikini models on Instagram. It's like every other picture is the most beautiful woman you've ever seen in your entire life. And then they set like, it sets like a beauty standard that you're just never going to be able to like follow or live up to, I guess.
100%.
Even just in women. I remember like every guy at one point, like when even like 23 is like, you just like have this epiphany where you're like, what am I doing? I'm just going to unfollow all of these accounts because there's no reason for me to be just Googling these girls.
Did you unfollow?
I personally don't follow any.
Okay.
There's one, I follow Alexis Fran on Instagram and she's my guilty pleasure.
Oh, she was on Dancing with the Stars, right?
Yeah.
Like, I'm not giving that up.
She's my guilty pleasure. She's the one that I'll stick with.
She looks really sweet too.
Keeping her.
But yeah, it's funny to sit that you say that because on Instagram especially it's like,
but a lot of women follow those accounts as well, and I tell them don't follow other women that aren't reflecting back the kind of body you have or the way you want to feel about your body, because you know I work with people that are working really hard to feel desirable and acceptable in the body they have, and they do not have a fitness body.
Yeah. Oh, unfollow, it doesn't even mean. See, I think I did this interview where people are like, oh, it's socially acceptable to tell someone, hey, you lost weight. I don't want to hear that. In my culture, I don't want to be too thin. Like in Italian culture, I should be 10 pounds heavier. And like, I do struggle with like knowing that I have to gain a couple of extra pounds to be like socially accepted and like that.
So do dudes. So do dudes. People say to me like, you look like you put on muscle. I'm like, okay, maybe. Or like, you look like you lost weight. And it's like, that stinks. I was trying to put on muscle.
Yeah.
You know, and the more people say you look great, it tells you I need to keep looking great and doing whatever I'm doing to feel likable by people.
Right.
It's a trap.
And so I remember like when I would tell people like, that's not a compliment for me. Like, just don't ever comment on someone's body image. And what I've started to do is like put my blinds down and just walk around my house naked. I have a full length mirror and I just admire parts of my body that I either didn't like before or that I never. Dean smiling ear to ear. Why are you laughing at me?
Because he's imagining. Yeah, he's in the room with you as you're doing that.
I mean, obviously.
And it allows me to just love myself, and that translates into the bedroom as well.
You killed it. I think that's really powerful. I think people shouldn't use compliments that are based on someone's body, because even if they have the body they think they should have or want, you're keeping them trapped and needing to maintain that. But number two, I agree with you. Very few people haven't actually taken the time to look at themselves. It's a powerful, powerful
act. Take that mirror in places, you know.
Full length. I need to get back. I mean, that's while we're on the topic. I'm getting out of shape, so I need to get back in the gym. What else do we want to talk about? Tell us more about Rebel Love.
Yeah. So basically, there's so many books out there on sex and dating. A lot of them are just not only dated, but they're problematic in the kinds of things that they recommend. A lot of them talk about playing games, and they set it up as though your role in dating or going on a date is to just get someone. And that's backwards, because a date's about assessing compatibility. Mm. And so I say to people, show up as yourself. Don't show up based on what these books say you need to do or what you need to say or you need to take someone so they like you.
Right.
Then that's like a hostage situation, right? That's a manipulation. So I say to people, go as yourself. A dating's about being known, not being liked. And a successful date might mean that didn't go, they don't like me, and I showed up as my myself and we figured that out. So don't like fake date for a whole bunch of, you know, that's why if I go on a date with someone, I'm gonna go as myself. I'm not gonna dress up and take you out to an expensive restaurant. That's not what I do. Right. And I don't.
I love that you said that. I always say the first couple of dates, people are auditioning to try to be someone that they think that you want them to be.
Right.
And so I show up as being like, I could be obnoxious. I'm gonna talk about like all this weird crap. And if you can't handle it on the first date, I don't want to date you.
A freaking man. That is me on my first date too. I'm letting it all out, like within reason, but I'm not trying to get you to like me, right? I'm just seeing if we match.
Right.
And so I'm going to be dressed really casual, because I dress casual. We're going to go to somewhere really chill and we're going to sit and talk, and I'm not going to try to win you.
That's something I've only started doing recently as well. As even just as short as like 2 years ago, I was going on dates and I was like, hello, how are you? I mean, I'm still like that, courteous and all that kind of stuff, but you definitely like put on maybe a different face, like a more proper version of yourself. But
that's why I wrote the book, to just help guide people away from manipulation and game playing. Because everything you're doing with dating is either authentic and honest or it's game playing. And I'm like, go to the authentic.
Because if you're game playing, that's just going to, everyone gets screwed over in the end with that.
Totally.
Yeah.
And this book is out tomorrow. Where can people buy it?
Rebel Love comes out tomorrow. You can buy it anywhere books are sold, Amazon.com, everywhere.
Is there audiobooks too?
Like sure is, and I read this one. I didn't read my first book, and it's read by some, God bless whoever it is, but some like Shakespearean actor. Yeah. It's painful to hear. So this one I read. So you're gonna hear like,
oh, nice.
I loved it. Okay, so I keep getting so many questions about my hair length, my hair strength, and how I keep it so like luxurious. And so, but the one thing I've been struggling with is finding like really good shampoo and conditioner. And especially because I travel so much, I hate using the shampoo and conditioners that they have in the hotel rooms. And I stumbled upon this amazing company called Function of Beauty. And what I love most about this shampoo company is you get to customize the color of the shampoo that you want and the specific needs. So right now in my profile, I put wavy, medium, and normal hair. And my goals for my hair is volume, thermal protection, strengthen, anti-aging, and nourished roots. And for fragrance, I put eucalyptus. And my conditioner is blue, and my shampoo is purple, and it's super cute.
I love the eucalyptus.
I think the best thing too is if you live with someone, you can have your customized shampoo in a certain color. Like Vanessa and Dean, if you guys live together and shared a shower, you can have your color, she can have hers. Or like if you know you're going to wear your hair curly one day, you can have a shampoo that fits that better than if you're going to blow it dry. Like Dean, your hair, you need it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I'm going to start using it every day, I think.
Are you using any shampoos and conditioners?
I'm going to start using Function of Beauty.
Because you started using soap now.
Well, I'm growing my hair out, and I know once you get longer hair, you have to kind of maintain it a little bit better. So I'm glad that Function of Beauty came into my life at the time that it has, because I'm going to freaking use it for sure.
And you have to also be careful. I'm in 2019, I'm going like more on the healthy route. So you have to be careful with the chemicals that you're putting into your body.
Definitely.
And even with shampoos and stuff, there's like a bunch of garbage that we don't know about. And so Function of Beauty, it's safe. There's natural ingredients. They never use sulfates or parabens, mineral oils, or any other harmful ingredients that go into your hair and that actually like go onto your skin. And if you open your mouth, it might go in your mouth. So Function of Beauty is vegan and cruelty-free.
Love the cruelty-free.
Which I love. Yeah. I love that it's cruelty-free. So the sad reality of it is that most major drugstore brands test on animals, but Function of Beauty is 100% vegan and cruelty-free, and it's safe to use. They don't use parabens and sulfates and all those like nasty things that other shampoos and conditioners might have. And so I received mine maybe a couple of weeks ago. I opened up the bottles and it just smelled like a spa. The colors of it, I actually want to bring it in, but the colors of it are so magical. It's like Instagrammable.
Your hair looks magical.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Dean. And actually, so I took the quiz. I selected heat protection, to nourish the roots and volumize, because I do have thinner hair. Well, I don't have thin hair. I think I have fine hair. That's what it's called. I have fine hair. And I was able to pick out the color, like I said, but you can mix and match and pick any scent that you want. And I picked eucalyptus, which has 100% essential oil blend of eucalyptus, lavender, rosemary, and peppermint. When we all know that I suffer from migraines. So peppermint is great for my migraines. So
super helpful.
This is a great deal. Right now, our listeners will receive 20% off their first custom formula.
20%?
20% off. What? Yeah, no, that's a huge chunk.
Heck yeah.
All you have to do is go to functionofbeauty.com now and take the quiz. It's only a 2-minute quiz for your hair profile quiz to design your 100% unique shampoo and conditioner formulas and use cone.
Let me tell them the code. I want to tell them the code. This is how I get all of the pleasure in my life. Use code Dean at checkout to get that 20% off. That's Dean, DEAN at checkout for 20% off. Functionofbeauty.com. Again, code Dean, DEAN at checkout for 20% off your very first order at functionofbeauty.com. You're going to love it. Have as beautiful hair as Vanessa. That's her secret. And as I soon will too, as soon as I start using all of their products, which I definitely will. Because I have
I love anything customizable. Like we're all unique people, right? We're snowflakes. So why would we want something that someone else is using if we have different skin or hair types or whatever?
Preach, girl.
This is wonderful.
Hey, what's up? I'm Stephanie Pratt. You may know me from The Hills.
And I'm Wells Adams from Bachelor in Paradise. We've got a new show on iHeartRadio that's the perfect blend of The Hills, Bachelors, drama, secrets. It's everything you're into.
It's called Prattcast, and we're giving you a behind-the-scenes look into the new season of The Hills that you can't get anywhere else. And you never know who's going to stop by.
They've locked us into a freaking studio together and won't let us out until we have your new favorite obsession. So subscribe to Prattcast after you finish this episode, or just do it right now.
You won't regret it. Wait.
Should we do it together?
Yeah.
Okay, on three. 1, 2, 3.
You won't regret it. Oh, okay. That tone?
I don't know. You don't have a tone? Okay, I'll do like you. Okay, ready? 1, 2, 3. You won't regret it. No, seriously, you won't regret it.
Like, you really, really, really won't?
Just go download it right now.
Like, whatever you're listening to right now, how you're listening to this, do it.
Do it. 5 stars, please.
Do it.
It's great. It's really
fun.
I promise you, you will love it. You'll tell your mom about it.
You're going to be on it if you subscribe.
If you subscribe to it, we will put you on our show. That's how desperate we are.
Whoa.
That's how desperate I am.
Okay.
Tell us more about this anonymous sex.
What about it?
I don't know. Just
anonymous sex.
Sex can be a relationship in and of itself. One night stands.
Yeah. It's just, again, like I'm always trying to tell people to bring more heart and compassion into things. That's where we're at in 2019. Even the most random anonymous hookup fling where I don't know your name, maybe I can't even see your face, is in a dark alley. Still remember that, like, every time you have sex with someone, you're impacting them. They're walking away feeling better about themselves and the world. And yes, there's good people out there and I feel desirable, or the opposite. So just bring care into it. And that's why I tell people, even if someone says they want to have sex, like bring another layer of like, how will this impact them? How will this impact me? Is it still a good idea? Like more care.
Mm-hmm. Are you encouraging me to have one night stands?
I'm saying one night stands are fair. They're honest. Have them. There's nothing wrong with them. There's nothing bad with them. It's part of the process. Not sex doesn't have to be about building towards dating or relationship, but just be honest about what you're looking for. Care. Have care in there.
Mm-hmm. And I think it all depends on how we're wired too, right?
Sure.
If you're not, I'm not wired to just have a one night stand. I wish I was, so I can explore that part of that kind of relationship and interpersonal connection.
Change. Hold space for the possibility of it changing. If we're really honest with ourselves, our sexuality should shift as our lives shift, our health shifts, our job shift. Like, I used to be a big proponent of myself. I was a big participant of hookup culture. But for whatever reason, after my last relationship, I now am very relationally driven, where I don't want to have sex unless it's someone I've gotten to know on other levels. And then we kind of fold that in. So I'm with you. I'm not hooking up right now either.
What's your advice for someone that doesn't want to be in a relationship?
Don't be in one.
No. Do you still go on dates?
Oh, I think in our culture, and we have to think about like, what are people thinking in these terms? Most people see dating as you being open to possibly building something more.
Right.
And so I would say, not that you're not allowed to go on dates, but you should be honest that I'm just looking up to casually date.
Right.
Yes.
Okay.
And if that changes, cool, but like, just trying to be
That's
casual.
What I tell everyone I meet now. It's like, listen, A, you don't want to date me. B,
Wait, why do you say that?
I don't want to be in a relationship.
Why do you say the first part?
Oh, I know you're big on self-love, and so you're
yeah. What's up with that? Why do you think?
Chris,
why do you think
he loves? He just loves to self deprecate.
Horrible.
Yeah, that's my thing.
Yeah, that bums me out. Why do you feel that way about yourself?
I feel like if you're hard on yourself, then it allows you to kind of like build and work on the things that
is that is that happening?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm better now than I was yesterday.
All right.
And a week before, well, not yesterday, but like
I find it so fascinating because you look at a guy like Dean, and he's like super charming, so good looking, so easy to get along with. So funny, and
he's
yet
right.
He will never list any of those things as his qualities.
Yeah, it's unfortunate.
We started off this podcast by saying I got some bad news recently, and that made me decide that my F-boyery is going to continue indefinitely.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I don't know how to answer that, because I don't know
I just can't trust anyone anymore, I feel like.
That's not true. Yeah. Come on. You're talking to someone whose engagement ended, who's like constantly getting heartbroken, who constantly puts herself out there and that never ends up having like a successful, I wouldn't say successful, but doesn't end up having like a long-term relationship. Like, I should be in those shoes, too. I should be thinking that same way, too.
Yeah.
But I'm not.
We talked about it a little on the front end of the podcast.
Give us a one sentence.
I want to know what he said. I learned recently that an ex was unfaithful, I suppose.
Oh, okay.
One that I very trusted very deeply.
Right.
And so hearing that just really sucks.
But that's why I'm trying to get people to take more responsibility for how they impact people. Like, I'm sorry that happened, and it's understandable that this person has shook your ability to trust and let people in.
Mm-hmm.
So I want people like your ex to listen and to be like, if you want to cheat, tell someone. It's not working anymore, or we need a different kind of sex, or I want an open relationship. Like, we have to stop wounding people via sex and dating. That's so horrible. But I would say this, take some time. Like, if you're feeling as though like I'm really wounded and I might drag that into a current relationship, it's cool for you to chill a little bit.
Yeah.
Because I don't want you to drag that in and ruin someone else's life because you're getting triggered or whatever it is. But the way you'll really work through relational conflict and trauma and all that is through relationship. So until you get back into something and practice trusting and you're shown that you can trust, it's going to sit there waiting for you.
I think I'm just going to avoid it altogether.
Or that. Or just never date again and you're fine. But then you avoid doing that work. Read my book. Dead seriously, read the book.
Rebel Love. I got
Rebel
it. On shelves tomorrow. Can I just get like a signed copy from you or something?
You can.
There's one question from Brittany. And I think it's a question that a lot of females or males or who we think of. How do you not offend partners when you don't feel like having sex that night? I always feel so bad turning him down. And he says it's okay and respects that it's hard for me to feel sexy when I come home from working a full-time job, then school at night until 10 p.m. and don't get a chance to shower.
Okay, beautiful question. Here's my answer. If you're not interested in having whatever kind of sex your partner's looking for, offer something. They're making a bid for your attention, to connect, to build intimacy. They might have missed you. Maybe they just do want to get off. So I tell them, that's cool. Honor that. No, I don't want to have penetrative sex, but come here and lay on my lap and I'll hold you. Or no, I don't want to have sex, but I'll watch you masturbate. No, I don't want to have sex, but I'll go down on you. No, I don't want to have sex, but let's hold hands, go for a walk. Do something that's connecting, something that's romantic.
I have two questions here that I think would be good. So Carrie says, Have any of you experienced low libido? And if so, why do you think it was, or what do you think it was from? For the expert, how can a woman help improve her libido?
Yeah, it's a really powerful one. So number one, I would say make sure you're having the kind of sex you want to have. Sometimes low libido is us not acknowledging I'm bored with my partner, the sex we're having, and I either need to talk to my partner about changing things up, or maybe I need to leave this relationship. Also check in on how you feel about yourself. Our own self-esteem and body esteem is going to impact how we feel about like being sexual and really letting go and being open.
Well, that's what, to cycle back earlier about me saying I haven't really been working out very much. I noticed that when I go to the gym consistently, my sex drive is much higher.
Yep. And not just because of the higher levels of testosterone from working out,
which
but also
better body
because,
image.
Right. You just feel better about yourself. Yeah. And so you feel better like presenting yourself. You feel better being seen and touched. Yeah, for sure.
There's like definitely a direct correlation. So what about for a female?
Same thing, like check in on, am I feeling okay about my body? Am I feeling okay about my relationship? Is this someone that's safe to even be sexual with? Am I having the kind of sex I want? We're, like you said earlier, you know, our first sexual experience is masturbation, and we're trained to do it quietly, privately, quickly. So I say to people, like, are you making noises? And they're like, what do you mean? I'm like, well, honest sex, you'd be making the noises you want to make. You'd be letting your body do all sorts of things. Good sex is messy. Like, let the body fluids come out. Like, just open.
While we're
get
on
a
that
bed
topic,
protector.
That's right.
So Madison says, is it necessarily a bad thing to be having less sex after being in a relationship for a while? Do we go through phases of more or less sex in relationships? And when should you be worried about having less sex? And she's asking for like statistics if you have them off the top
sure.
of your head.
Yeah. You know, again, be open to the idea that the amount of sex you want to have and the kind of sex you want to have will change as our lives shift based on medication, depression, loss of a job, how we feel about our bodies, all these things. So don't be scared when sex drops. But I always tell people, if you do what I said earlier, which is really prioritize the fact that my partner's not my best friend. So it's not friend stuff. They're my romantic partner. And if every day, like I said, you sexualize them or flirt with them or do something romantic, it keeps sex closer and more accessible, because the longer you go without having sex, the harder it is to get back to it.
Yeah.
So kind of be open to that. There's no right number. Some couples don't have any sex and they're both okay with that. It's like high five.
What if you just like genuinely lose attraction to your partner?
Then you either A, mourn the loss of having an amazing sex life for your entire life, or it's time for you to transition into truly just being friends and maybe being romantic with somebody else.
Hmm. But so is it possible to go back to that relationship and go back to that forming that connection?
Yeah, you'll never know, but it's possible. It can happen. That's why people come to see me as a sex therapist when I do that piece of work, because I do marital and couples therapy too, but they'll come in for that. Like, how can we get back to that? And we'll talk about new forms of sexuality, doing some work on fantasy. Like, what are some of the things that you think about that maybe you haven't tried? So there's ways to work it back in.
What are your thoughts on like monogamy versus polygamy?
Monogamy versus polyamory.
Polyamory.
I think both are legit forms of relationality as long as they're both honest. Just like I want to know why you want to be polyamorous, and that takes a lot of work. I also want to know why you want monogamy, because we all assume like that's the healthy right answer. No, I want to know why, because for some people it's coming from a really problematic place. I'm anxious. I want to own you. I want control. I want you off all the apps immediately. We've only gone on one date, but I need, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because mm-hmm. There's like a lot of fundamental issues with monogamy, I feel like. Like it's derivative from like a lot of things that are very antiquated and like
totally
and all that kind of stuff.
Sexism, capitalism, ownership.
And like religious and practical purposes, all that kind of stuff.
And it fails. We have a 60% failure rate of monogamy, which means we have to do it at least differently. And I have a chapter in my book about, if you're gonna be monogamous, awesome, but do it differently, because right now it's failing the way we're doing it.
But that's the crazy thing about it, is it fails so often and we know it fails so often, and yet that's the standard.
Totally. And yet we blame people for successfully failing at what they're supposed to fail at.
Right.
We have to blame monogamy, not the people, but we keep blaming the people. You're right. And we keep doing it. And that's why my book is there. Like, I talk about all the possible ways we can have relationships, and it scares people to have someone come home and go, hey, honey, I just read this book and I realized maybe we should talk about an open relationship, having a three-way sometimes, or maybe we should be polyamorous, or maybe whatever it is. That's adulthood.
If you're condoning a polyamorous relationship, how do you suggest you structure it? Do you have like a priority or like a main person? Isn't that how they kind of work?
It depends. There's two forms. There's where you have one primary and everyone else is secondary and comes after. And other ones, they do what they call either relational anarchy or non-hierarchical, which means we all have the same amount of power and control and prioritization.
Sure.
All of you. It's a lot of work, though. You got to get your calendar out. Yeah. Cause you're trying
to date
multiple people.
I just bought a whiteboard, so.
There you go. You're ready. You're ready.
One last thing.
Sure.
You touch on sexual fluidity.
Oh, yeah.
So how you identify now isn't necessarily how you will identify for the rest of your life.
That's right.
Is that like something that you tend to kind of like scream from the mountaintops, or?
Yeah, I try to. You know, people are a little too confident in their sexual orientation. And what I'll say to people is, so let's use you for a second. You identify as?
Straight.
Okay. Yeah. So when you watch porn, is it a man and a woman or two women or a woman alone?
I would say 90% of the time it's a man and a woman.
Okay. So.
Yeah.
So my point is not that you're gay. My point is that that is a little more fluid.
I got to have a penis in there.
There's got to be a penis in there. Right. It's like, well, why does a penis need to be present? That is not 100% heterosexuality. That's a little movement. And so when people give themselves permission to try things and to think about that and what, you know, we realize we are far more diversified. And I had to go through that journey. Like, I've identified as everything at different points in my life. And now I go sexually fluid because I like having sex with all genders. But when I'm with gay dudes, not like, yo, remember being with a woman? Have you tried that again? And with them with straight dudes, they're not like, yo, when's the last time you're with a dude? Right? So we don't get a lot of support around that. You're both looking at me like silent.
Wait, no, I'm confused. I'm confused. Are you saying being gender fluid is
sexually fluid? Sexually fluid.
Sexually fluid is being open to all gender?
Correct. Yeah. Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
Not like only porn. Like,
right. I'd have sex with both of you, is what it means.
Okay.
All right, let's do it.
Yeah.
Like right now?
Sure.
Am I flying out to
LA? I have time. I have a little more time. I can hang in there. It's a quick flight.
And it's funny, too, because that is kind of looked down upon as well in our culture.
For sure. I've asked this. So, you know, one of the most powerful conversations I had, my podcast co-host is Amber Rose, and I once said to her, would you date someone who's bisexual? Like, would you date someone like me? And she's like, no way. She's like, that scares me. I don't want to compete with guys and girls. And I was like, well, if you trust someone, then there's nothing to worry about. And just because you like all genders doesn't mean you have no trust or boundaries.
Yeah.
But it scares people. I ask that question of a lot of women. Like, would you date someone who also has been with guys? And most of them will say no. So there's a lot of biphobia. And that's also why a lot of straight guys won't really explore or talk about bringing another dude in. Yeah. Like, oh, another girl can come in. But like you said, you'll watch porn and you want that penis in there. There's something about that.
Well, oh, there's a puppy. Hey, puppy.
Hey, dog.
One of the things that people, I guess, criticize me for, that's not the right word, but people often comment on like my Instagram or like, oh, are you gay? Or like, are you bi? Like that type of stuff.
Why? What are you doing?
I'm just comfortable enough with myself.
Cool.
And then they turn it around to make it seem like it's a negative thing. Where, it's like, where it's like, maybe if I am, like, who cares if I am?
Yeah.
You know? Like, it shouldn't matter. I agree with that whole lot. You shouldn't be asked that question. Just like you said, don't talk about people's bodies because you don't know what they're how they're wanting to look, weight gain or weight loss. We really shouldn't talk about people's sexuality like that.
Right.
If you like me, ask me out. But don't be digging around trying to figure out by photos.
I always make this argument whenever I go on dates all the time, and I always get the weirdest looks whenever I make it. I always say, like, if you grow up your entire life never having eaten pizza in your life, you can't say whether or not you like eating pizza.
Mm-hmm.
I've personally never sucked a penis.
Right.
So I don't know whether I like it or not.
Okay. Well, that's on your homework. I'm giving you each homework and that's on your list. So
I'm probably not going to do it.
Get to it.
I'm not going to do it. But I can't objectively say that I'm straight, right?
And isn't it unfortunate we live in a culture that you wouldn't be confident trying it just to try it? Because there's this idea, if I tried it, what does that mean about me? And can I circle back?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the answer should be, of course you can.
I mean, I will say in my private time, I've never clicked on the gay tab on like Pornhub or something like that. So I think that tells me all I need to know.
I don't know. Again, if we lived in a different world, we'd all be a little different. So we're a little confined by those things. But yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I think we talked about this last week. I've had one threesome in my life.
And you said it wasn't really a threesome, though.
It was two guys and a girl. I don't know if I got into that much detail about it, but yeah, that's how it was.
Why is it not really a threesome, though?
I mean, I don't know. It was three people hooking up with each other. So
no, I thought, okay, maybe it was
another
story.
The two guys didn't hook up. It was just, we're getting maybe too deep here.
Not really. You guys were just more sharing together, but not engaging each other.
Yeah, the guys were not engaging each other. We were 19 and pretty drunk. So that's my little asterisk on that story there. All right. Well, Chris, thank you so much for coming
in.
Yeah,
thanks for having me.
Be sure to check out the book Rebel Love on shelves tomorrow.
That's right. And Loveline on radio.com Monday through Thursday, and my podcast with Amber Rose on Podcast One.
What's your social?
Oh, yeah. My Instagram is at Dr. Donahue, D-O-N-A-G-H-U-E. And my Twitter is at Chris Donahue.
Perfect. Check him out.
Thank you so much for coming in, Chris.
That's awesome,
so much fun.
You too. Yeah.
It's always nice having experts come in because we just talk until the cows come home.
We have no idea what we're talking about. We need people like you.
Amen.
All right, Chris. Well, thanks again.
I actually have a question for you because I was thinking about this right now. Might be TMI, but it's the time of the month for me. And I'm like, why am I spending money on tampons and pads for? Shouldn't this be free for women? Because it's not like as if we have a choice to have our periods.
Yeah, but Kleenex isn't free and we don't have a choice to like get a cold.
True.
Life is hard. You
have to eat and you need to pay for the food that you eat, right?
Right.
Is it taxed in the States, tampons and sanitary
pads? Yeah. Probably. Sales tax. You pay sales tax.
No. See, in Canada, it's not. Or at least in Montreal, it's not.
Why are you... What's your question? Or your point?
No, I was just thinking of, like... I don't even want to get into it. But I was thinking of, like, you know, how some men and some women might find it the 5 days that a woman is on their period where it's like you go into hiatus for sex. Right. And I'm like, nope.
You just go for
it. Full force. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a whole show we could do a show on. Yeah, that's a whole thing.
We'll shelf that one for maybe next week when you're in studio. We can talk all about PMSing sex. PMS sex.
Well, that's before.
Oh, I don't know.
Dean doesn't know what he's talking about. We're going to have to help him through it. But.
Let's bring like an anatomy doctor in one day or something like that. This is the clitoris.
Oh, God.
Yeah, what is it?
I don't know. You're asking the wrong person. Anyways, these sex episodes are always, there's such a hurdle for us, for me, I guess, because like part of me like wants to like keep something secretive, and then the other part of me is like, I don't care. This has happened to me. I'm not kind, you know.
So I find I think that way too, but then I get so many people writing me saying, thank you so much for opening up about so and so. I'm going through the exact same thing. And so I think we have the responsibility of just obviously sharing things that we feel comfortable sharing about, but also being open. You know, this is why we do it. We do it so people can connect with us and understand what we're going through.
I think sometimes I'm just a little ashamed by my sluttiness, you know?
You're such a liar. You keep saying that you're a prude.
Well, you can be both. They're not mutually exclusive,
I guess you
can are
be
they?
Both. Yeah.
Maybe we need to address your shame issues too.
Yeah. Well, it's just society places me. It's society's fault. It's not my fault.
Well, we have a lot to dig into next week.
Yeah, sure. We have a lot to dig into next week. We have Vanessa coming into studio. Being in studio for the first time. What since August?
No, October.
October. Sure. Yeah. It's gonna be great to have you in here. Jared's gonna be back, right?
I think so. It'll be nice to...
It's going to be a crowded studio. Maybe I'll just take the week off. I've earned it, right?
We're going on a little date, you and I.
Yeah, we've got the podcast awards, which I literally didn't know about until yesterday, which is great. Right,
I want to go matching. I want to wear matching outfits.
I'm wearing a plum tuxedo jacket if you'd like to match me.
Okay, I'll find a plum dress.
Okay, fantastic. We're going to be the most attractive people there. Thank you guys so much for listening to this week's episode of Help I Suck at Dating. Big thank you to Dr. Chris for coming in and telling us all about sex and all about the clitoris and the vagina. Is that how you say it? big thank you to our sponsor, ZipRecruiter. Be sure to go to ZipRecruiter.com/date to try them out. Big thank you to Function of Beauty. Be sure to go to FunctionofBeauty.com and use code Dean to get an extra 20% off your very first order. And a big, big thank you to Sleep Number. Be sure to check out SleepNumber.com/Dean to find the nearest Sleep Number store near you. As always, Vanessa... Big thank you to you for just being an incredible human being.
Thank you to you for being so open and willing to talk about things that made you a little uncomfortable today.
Yeah, I've still got some more sex stories I'm just willing to unravel as we get to know each other a little better. So. Anyways, next week's episode, we'll have Vanessa and Jared in studio. So that's this very,
it's
like,
a big one.
It's like a solar eclipse. It doesn't happen very often, but when it does, you want to make sure you catch it. Don't miss it.
You don't want to miss
Don't miss it. That's what I'm talking about. Anyways, thank you again for tuning into this week's episode of Help I Suck at Dating. Maybe next week we'll suck a little bit less.
Follow Help I Suck at Dating with Dean, Vanessa, and Jared on iHeartRadio or wherever you listen to podcasts.